This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Another healthcare failure. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Tuesday, September 26th. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Senator Susan Collins of Maine says she will not support the latest attempt by fellow Republicans to replace Obamacare. That leaves GOP leaders without enough votes to pass it.
North Korea claims the U.S. has declared war on it. We'll explain what Pyongyang now feels it has a right to do.
Another football game, another demonstration. Hear what happened during the pregame for the Cowboys and Cardinals.
And the effort by colleges to get more female students into the STEM fields of science, technology, engineering, and math.
A number of the biggest producers of STEM graduates, that's science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, a number of the biggest producers of those grads are getting closer to gender parity. So they're moving the needle on bringing more women into these fields.
Wall Street Journal reporter Melissa Korn on specific strategies of certain schools. She's here in about 20 minutes. Farewell to Republicans' latest attempt at health insurance reform. Senator Susan Collins of Maine yesterday said she will not vote for the measure proposed by colleagues Bill Cassidy and Lindsey Graham. With no Democrats pledging support, Republican leaders can lose no more than two GOP votes to pass the bill. And Senators Rand Paul of Kentucky and John McCain of Arizona had already said they would not support it. Without Ms. Collins, that leaves no clear path to passage.
The bill clearly opened the door to weakening the protections for people with pre-existing conditions like asthma or cancer.
Meanwhile, the Congressional Budget Office released a partial analysis of the Graham-Cassidy bill, figuring millions would lose comprehensive coverage. The group also estimated that by 2026, the bill would cut about $1 trillion in Medicaid spending, resulting in millions of people being left out of the program. It's not clear now if Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell will still hold a vote. The rhetoric on the Korean Peninsula has escalated again. North Korea yesterday said that President Trump had declared war and that it would shoot down U.S. bombers flying in the region, even if not in North Korean airspace. Tensions have escalated on the Korean Peninsula since North Korea conducted its sixth and most powerful nuclear test earlier this month. Mr. Trump took to Twitter yesterday to say North Korea's foreign minister and leader Kim Jong-un, quote, won't be around much longer if they acted on their threats. Foreign Minister Ri Yong-ho, through a translator, said that remark amounted to a declaration of war.
Last weekend, Trump claimed that our leadership would be around much longer, and hence, at last, he declared a war on our country.
Meanwhile, South Korea's Yonhap News Agency said earlier today that the North has been boosting defenses on its east coast. U.S. bombers flew close to the Korean Peninsula over the weekend. As President Trump discusses a sanctions-based approach that presses North Korea's allies while threatening to take down the Kim Jong-un government, along with its nuclear and missile programs, some top Democrats want the president and his team to settle on a consistent strategy. So says John Bennett, White House correspondent at Roll Call. John, what are you hearing?
Last week's a very good example of what some lawmakers, especially when I try to talk to ones who, you know, have oversight, senior oversight positions on foreign relations or armed services. So they follow this stuff all the time. They've followed these issues through numerous presidents. So they have a lot of experience. And last week really shows why some of them are concerned. One day the president is, the White House is putting out a statement saying the president spoke with the Chinese president, and they agree that, continuing to ramp up pressure on North Korea through various means, including sanctions, is the way to go. The next day, the president gives his first address before the UN General Assembly, and, he threatens that if North Korea goes too far, he will totally destroy the country, even the White House officials, to me, kind of walked that back and said that that's just a continuation of U.S. policy, because he meant if North Korea attacks the U.S. or, say, South Korea and or Japan, of course any U.S. president would probably respond by, you know, going to war, major strikes. But then the next day, and this is where the confusion comes in, a lot of lawmakers are just confused, and then the next day the president is at the U.N. on the sidelines with other world leaders, South Korean leader, the Japanese leader, and others, and they're talking about sanctions. And they leave the meeting with President Trump, and, you know, they put out statements or they talk to reporters in a different setting, and they're saying that, well, President Trump agreed with us that for now, let's continue to ramp up sanctions and try to tighten the screws and change Kim Jong-un's thinking and behavior that way.
I guess I'll try to play devil's advocate best I can. So what guys like Senator Reid are saying, it was my impression, I guess, that sanctions will continue as forcefully as we can, but if North Korea were to attack us or one of its allies, then we bring the full force. Is that not the simple or clear message that they're hearing?
They're not hearing that necessarily, but, you know, if you go back and kind of read the transcript or watch the president's speech again, and then, you know, in that story that you referenced that I wrote and another story I wrote, the White House did clarify that the president meant if North Korea were to attack us first, that's when the total destruction would come in.
Right.
But at the same time, the president doesn't always say it that way. There are times where he talks and his senior national security team members bring up total annihilation. I was standing right outside the West Wing one Sunday afternoon when Defense Secretary Mattis brought up total annihilation without saying, you know, if North Korea attacked us. So that's where some of the confusion.
We're speaking with John Bennett, White House correspondent at Roll Call. Do they feel that there's been a significant change in how North Korea is dealt with from, say, the Obama administration?
Well, you know, even Trump skeptics will say that the Obama administration failed to deal with this adequately or really do anything that changed the Kim regime's behavior or, you know, slowed down its development of this missile program and this nuclear arms program. It's really the rhetoric. You know, they themselves just passed legislation that slapped other new sanctions on North Korea. So when it comes to tightening the screws, and, you know, even Senator Reid said when the president and his team publicly say that all options are on the table, they don't disagree with that. They agree that all options do have to be on the table. And, you know, when you talk to some of these guys, maybe give them the anonymity to speak candidly, they will not rule out military action. They will not rule out that it might take that. They just don't think we're there yet. They think, you know, more aggressive sanctions than even Obama did, continuing the course that the Trump administration and Congress and allies have been on, you know, stepping this up over the last, say, 6 months.
Thanks, John. John Bennett, White House correspondent at Roll Call. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. How would you like the convenience of joining a group cycling class whenever you want, right in your own home? Skip the commute to the gym, join live rides on the Peloton indoor cycling bike, or choose a ride on demand based on your favorite music. You can even choose your favorite world-class instructor. There are also dozens of on-demand scenic rides and additional off-bike workouts. The Peloton bike includes a 22-inch high-def touchscreen, performance tracking metrics, and a real-time leaderboard. In fact, see if you're working harder than me. My screen name is Radio Guy Gordon. Discover this cutting-edge indoor cycling bike that brings the studio experience to your home. Peloton is offering listeners a limited-time offer. Go to PelotonCycle.com, enter the code GORDONDEAL at checkout, and get 20% off accessories with your Peloton bike purchase. Get a great workout at home anytime you want. Go to PelotonCycle.com, use the code GORDONDEAL, and get started. Thanks for being with us. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor. Guess whose football jersey is the most popular one among all NFL players? in the past day or so. NFLShop.com says it's Alejandro Villanueva, offensive lineman for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The U.S. Army veteran and West Point grad who served in Afghanistan stood alone for the national anthem on Sunday while his teammates waited in the locker room. White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders weighed in on the Sunday protests.
I was kind of pointing out the hypocrisy of the fact that if the goal is and the message is that of police brutality, which they've stated, then that doesn't seem very appropriate to protest the American flag.
Meanwhile, before last night's game between the Cowboys and Cardinals, the entire Dallas team linked arms and knelt on the field before the national anthem. They were booed. They all stood for the anthem. Mr. Jones, the Cowboys owner, previously expressed pride that no players on his team had taken to one knee as the anthem was played. By the way, Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, Villanueva's teammate, said yesterday he regretted having missed the anthem on Sunday. This portion of the program is brought to you by Harry's. Did you know that if you're a frequent shaver, you could save over $100 a year if you shave with Harry's instead of your current razor? Even infrequent shavers can save about $50. And the best part, you don't have to sacrifice quality. You get a great shave each morning. You save money. You even save time because Harry's delivers right to your door. Over 3 million guys have made the switch to Harry's. 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. And great news, Harry's is so confident you'll love their blades, they're giving you their trial set for free. All you do is cover the cost of shipping. That free trial set includes an ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip, and a trimmer blade for your sideburns. There's also shave gel and a travel cover, a little something we've partnered with Harry's on. You can find it at harrys.com/deal. Get started with your Harry's free trial set today. Again, all you cover is a few bucks in shipping. To get that free trial set, including a handle, blade, shave gel, and travel blade cover, go to harrys.com/deal. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today. HARRYS.com. Harrys.com/deal. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Florida Republican Senator Susan Collins' decision to oppose the GOP push to repeal President Obama's health care overhaul leaves the effort all but dead.
I can't support this bill.
Collins says the bill didn't do enough to protect people with pre-existing conditions and cut Medicaid too sharply. Senators John McCain, Rand Paul, and Ted Cruz also say they oppose the legislation, though Cruz's aides say he might back it if changes are made. North Korea's top diplomat says a weekend tweet by President Trump was a declaration of war, and North Korea has the right to retaliate by shooting down U.S. bombers, even in international airspace. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders pushed back.
We've not declared war on North Korea, and frankly, the suggestion of that is absurd.
It was the latest escalation in a week of undiplomatic exchanges between North Korea and the U.S. during the U.N. General Assembly's annual ministerial meeting. A House committee has asked the White House for information about a report that senior officials use private email accounts for government business. The request by the Republican and Democratic leaders of the House Oversight Committee follows a Politico report that Jared Kushner and other current and former White House officials use private emails for their government duties. Committee leaders say they will examine whether Trump administration officials were deliberately trying to circumvent federal laws by using personal, private, or alias email addresses to conduct official government business. A federal judge has sentenced Anthony Weiner, the Democratic former congressman from New York, to 21 months in prison for exchanging sexually explicit messages with a 15-year-old girl. Citing the need for general deterrence, the judge said the intense attention on Weiner's case gave her an opportunity to send a message and protect other minors. Weiner's repeated sexting scandals ended his political career. There's a new home run king, at least among rookies. Yankee Aaron Judge broke Mark McGwire's Major League Baseball record for home runs by a rookie, hitting a pair last night in an 11-3 win over the Royals to raise his total to 50.
The biggest thing is winning ball games. You know, this is the right time to get hot. You know, this is it's coming down to the wire, and I'm just trying to do whatever I can to help the team, you know, be in a good position to going into October.
Judge has 13 home runs in September and 6 in 5 games.
He's 7'4" and weighs 400 pounds and can crush a baseball 4 miles.
He's a pretty big guy.
Oh, look up now. There's one of Judge's home runs still traveling from last night.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Women make up more than half of students on U.S. college campuses, but receive only about 2 of every 10 degrees in high-paying and in-demand fields, such as computer science and engineering. Administrators say there's no easy fix to the mismatch, but recent efforts to recruit women are starting to bear fruit. It's an exclusive story from the Wall Street Journal. Here's higher education reporter Melissa Korn. Melissa, what do we have?
A number of the biggest producers of STEM graduates, that's science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, a number of the biggest producers of those grads are getting closer to gender parity. So they're moving the needle on bringing more women into these fields. And while a lot of schools have made progress on this front in the last few years, most of what we've seen is really at the smaller schools where, you know, you get 2 or 3 more grads and that really bumps up your numbers. These big schools where, you know, you've got thousands graduating each year, that's really where you need to start seeing a difference in order to begin to see a change in the overall workforce. Okay. So some of these really big schools with 2,000 or 3,000 STEM grads a year, they're well over a third now women.
Interesting. All right. So who's doing what? Which schools?
Sure. So you've got schools like Carnegie Mellon, which has worked really hard to diversify its incoming first-year student class. About 43% of their new engineering undergrads this fall are women. That's up from 32% in 2013. And half of their computer science students now are women, first-year students. Again, a huge jump from the prior year. So they have been trying to broaden the appeal, explain you can major in these things and also minor or double major in other fields. Or schools are trying to help students better understand the real-world applications of what they're learning in the classroom. So not just here's this really obscure physics formula, but here's how it plays out in the real world.
Yeah. Wow. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal higher education reporter Melissa Korn. Her piece is called "Colleges Move to Close Gender Gap in Science." So how are schools doing this then? How are they able to get more women into these programs or recruit them, I guess?
Yeah, so a lot of it is about starting earlier. One example in my story, Worcester Polytechnic Institute, they have been running a lot of camps for middle school students, really trying to do more outreach for middle and high school girls to let them know this is a career that you could be really good at, that this is something you should at least consider. WPI got rid of standardized test scores in their admissions process, and they still only about 1/4 of their applicants are women, but those who do apply end up going. So they do overnight trips for admitted students to let them see, hey, it's a really great environment here for women.
Overnight trips. Wall Street Journal higher education reporter Melissa Korn. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Loans are made by WebBank. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
I was making great progress on building my savings, but then I get hit with an unexpected car repair bill.
Keeping a close eye on my credit score allowed me to buy my first house, but an unexpected medical emergency set me back.
When the unexpected happened, Avant was there to help. If you need to borrow $1,000 to $35,000, try Avant. It's fast, simple, and transparent.
Everything is done online. There are no prepayment fees, and no collateral is required. And you can instantly check your rate with no impact to your credit score.
Over 500,000 customers have experienced the convenience of a loan through Avant. No wonder Avant has an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau. And now, Avant will give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your rates and to get this special radio offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 4747 when applying. That's AVANT.com, promo code 4747. Go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 4747.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Tuesday, September 26, Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Latest Republican health care reform bill doesn't have enough votes. North Korea claims the U.S. has declared war. Special election for an Alabama Senate seat today. Water and food still hard to come by in hurricane-ravaged Puerto Rico. Palestinian gunmen killed 3 Israelis in a West Bank settlement. Target stores are raising the minimum wage. Oil prices jumped 3% yesterday.
Dallas Cowboys took a knee before the anthem last night, but stood during it. And the eighth grader who built his own house. That story in about 20 minutes. Alabama holds a special election today for the U.S. Senate. One of the Republican candidates, Roy Moore, lost his job as Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court twice.
Today there's a big dispute about taking down monuments, about forgetting our history. We can't forget our history. If we forget our history, we will repeat it.
His main opponent is Luther Strange, appointed senator when Jeff Sessions resigned to become attorney general.
This is what democracy is all about. We get to make big decisions. That's what people are around the world defending our freedoms about every day right now as we sit here. They're protecting our right to come out and vote for the candidates of our choice.
Mr. Strange is supported by President Trump. Vice President Pence stumped for him yesterday. Meanwhile, national correspondent Reed Wilson at The Hill says Judge Moore has gained a fiercely loyal following, likely to propel him to victory. Reed, give us a brief history.
Right, so this is a special election to fill the Senate seat once held by Jeff Sessions, now the U.S. Attorney General. When Sessions resigned his seat, the governor of Alabama, Robert Bentley, appointed this guy, Luther Strange, who was the Attorney General of the state of Alabama at the time, to fill the seat. So he's been there for the last, 8 months now in Washington, D.C., a part of the Republican conference in the U.S. Senate. And now he faces voters. If they decide to reelect him, he'll serve out, whoever wins will serve out the remainder of Sessions' term.
And so, as you point out, there's a very strong push from Baptists in Alabama, very, very strong, core of voters in Alabama, and they are very much behind Judge Roy Moore. Explain that.
Right. There are the two candidates running. We've got Luther Strange. He's got the backing of, so we're calling them the establishment, the Washington Republicans. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has a political action committee that spent a couple of $1 million on his behalf. Running against him is Roy Moore, the former Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. Moore has been removed from the court twice. Once because he refused to move a monument to the Ten Commandments, once because he told the judges in Alabama that they didn't have to conduct same-sex marriages in contravention of the U.S. Supreme Court order. So in both cases, he has lost his seat on the Supreme Court, but in doing so, he's gained this really powerful following among the religious right, those in Alabama who are the most conservative and the most likely to show up to vote. Alabama has a higher percentage of Baptists than any state in the union other than Tennessee, and they've got one of the higher percentages of evangelical voters. I talked to a congressman who paid a lot of attention to this the other day. He said, look, this is not a Tea Party electorate. It's a moral majority electorate. You know, back from the 1980s and 1990s when Christian conservatives really played a huge role in Republican politics, in Alabama, they still do. And that's fueling Roy Moore, even though he has spent less and has fewer of the sort of establishment endorsements than Luther Strange does.
Well, we're speaking with Reed Wilson, national correspondent at The Hill. His piece is called Roy Moore's Secret Powerful Constituency. It's a look at the special election in Alabama on Tuesday. What do the polls say right now, Reed?
The polls all show Roy Moore leading by probably in the high single digits right now. The important thing to note, though, and this is the caveat for every poll ever, is that we don't really know who's going to show up to vote tomorrow. This is a runoff in a primary election, so it's Republicans only. The Democrats have already picked their candidate. There will be a general election in December. But in this runoff of a primary election, we're likely to see only 10 to 12% of the state actually show up to vote. Now, who are those 10 to 12%? Are they going to be sort of the business Republicans in Birmingham and Montgomery and Huntsville who have no problem with the sort of Chamber of Commerce Republican? Then that's good for Luther Strange. Are they the Christian conservatives in more rural areas who are some of the most conservative voters, not just in Alabama, but in the entire country? That's good for Roy Moore. And that's probably what's going to happen. We're more likely to see a bigger turnout among those very conservative religious right Baptists than we are among the sort of more country club Chamber of Commerce set.
Thanks, Reed. Reed Wilson, national correspondent at The Hill. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, where we use the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, @ Gordon Deal. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. TSA agents are getting ruder, and it's time to do something about it. So say an increasing number of air travelers, citing their own experiences of being harassed and harangued by the screeners who are supposed to be helping them. Travel expert and consumer advocate Christopher Elliott has written about it and joins us now. Chris, I thought TSA was doing better.
I thought that they were getting their act together, and it turns out that there are more complaints being recorded against the TSA. This is according to TSA's own numbers than there were in the past. So either more people are complaining or more agents are being unpleasant to travelers.
Anybody
or maybe both.
Anybody take a guess as to why? They're just unhappy with the job or what's going on there?
Yeah, well, one thing is that surveys have been done about the morale at the TSA, and it is, I believe, the third worst federal agency to work for, behind, I think, the Secret Service and the IRS, if I'm not mistaken. And so people are, they're not happy at work, and that sometimes just comes through.
And I guess sometimes there's no explanation for what the TSA is doing, right? You've talked about this woman, Karen Kemp, this graphic designer from Charlotte, North Carolina, like an agent just kind of rifled through the cash in her purse or something?
Yeah, well, they don't have to explain themselves, and they don't feel the need to explain themselves. So sometimes when they see something that looks suspicious, they will ask you to open your bag. I mean, this just happened to me yesterday when I was flying. And they won't tell you what they're seeing. And sometimes they're not, their manners are not that good. They'll maybe rifle through, and then they won't help you repack, or they won't put it back the way that they saw it.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of rubs people the wrong way. So that might be one of the sources of complaints, is just people, the agents, just not being courteous.
Yeah. So what's involved here? Is better training or better job at hiring the folks in the first place?
It's really hard to find good people. And, at one point the TSA was advertising for jobs on the back of pizza boxes. And so they really are scraping the bottom of the barrel in some cases. So I think that's one of the issues, is how do you recruit someone to work for the TSA when you have such a bad reputation? And then training, of course, too. There are limited resources, and you're training them, obviously, to do a job, which is to find things that people shouldn't be taking on the plane with them, and adding manners and courtesy to it. Now, I did talk to TSA, and they said that they train them on how to deal with the public and what is and what isn't courteous. But, these are some things that their parents should have taught them. And so if you find someone whose parents didn't teach them manners, chances are the TSA isn't going to do any better.
We're speaking with consumer advocate and travel expert Christopher Elliott. He's written a piece entitled "Treated Badly by the TSA, Get in Line." All right, so what do you do if you encounter one of these folks who just kind of really seems to have not a courteous bone in their body?
You just smile and say thank you. The place to argue is not there. Get the name of the agent, get through the screening process, and then you can either ask for a supervisor afterwards and say something to the supervisor. Once there are enough complaints, Congress does pay attention to that. So they will do something if there are too many complaints against the TSA.
So contact your local congressional representative. Travel expert and consumer advocate Christopher Elliott. It's 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Don't worry. Be happy. It might make your flu shot more effective. A new study suggests that older people who are in a good mood when they get the shot have a better immune response. The New York Times says British researchers followed 138 people ages 65 to 85 who got the 2014 and 15 vaccine. The study is in the publication Brain, Behavior, and Immunity. This portion of the program is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you looking to hire and want to know how to reach the best talent? Then you need to use ZipRecruiter. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then the powerful ZipRecruiter technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. That allows you to focus on your business. No juggling emails or calls to your office about openings. You simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one spot with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon to try it for free. How about this stat? 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within one day. ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. Again, to try it for free, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
According with the latest Republican health care overhaul teetering near collapse, many who gained Medicaid coverage through the ACA are watching with heightened anxiety. Cuts to Medicaid was one of the reasons Republican Senator Susan Collins came out in opposition.
It would have a negative impact on millions of Americans who are now insured.
The Medicaid expansion brought health insurance to some 11 million lower-income Americans. The program would have ended in 3 years under the initial version of the Republicans' latest health care bill. The U.S. is ramping up its response to the humanitarian crisis in Puerto Rico amid criticism that the administration's response has fallen short of its efforts in Texas and Florida. Puerto Rico Governor Ricardo Rossello says residents are desperate for help.
This would be a humanitarian crisis in the United States. Puerto Rico is part of the United States. And I ask for congressmen, congresswomen, the administration to take swift action on an aid bill here in Puerto Rico.
Many of the 3.4 million U.S. citizens in the territory are still without adequate food, water, and fuel. President Trump's recent comments on protests by NFL players are spilling over to the NBA as teams gather to start preseason practices. At the Cleveland Cavaliers Media Day yesterday, LeBron James called out the president for using sports to divide the country.
The most powerful position in the world has an opportunity to bring us closer together as a people and inspire the youth and put the youth at ease on saying that it is okay for me to walk down the street and not be judged because of the color of my skin or because of my race.
Coaches and players all over the league say they're trying to decide how to best use their platform. A wedding photo shoot in Canada took an unexpectedly dramatic turn when the bridegroom dove into a river to save a little boy from drowning. Clayton and Brittany Cook were posing for wedding photos on a park bridge in Ontario when the groom noticed a boy in distress in the river. Cook jumped in and pulled the boy to the shore while the wedding photographer captured the rescue. Those images, of course, have since gone viral. After being rescued, the boy appeared fine, if a little shaken, and went off with an older sibling.
Holy smokes.
There goes the suit.
But hold my beer. Let me tackle this. Unbelievable. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. So a 13-year-old in Iowa has built his own house. The Des Moines Register tells the story of Luke Thill, an eighth grader from Dubuque. He calls the 89-square-foot structure in his parents' backyard a starter home. Built it for $1,500 by cutting lawns, raising money online, gathering reclaimed materials, and bartering. An electrician neighbor helped him wire it. If Luke cleaned out his garage, a scout leader helped him lay carpet in the loft bedroom if he cut the man's lawn. Luke says his home, which is 5.5 feet wide, 10 feet long, and includes a loft, is made up of 75% reclaimed materials, including several windows. Built a small deck outside. The siding is half cedar shakes, half vinyl. Dad says since city codes are kind of restrictive, it's really just a glorified shed. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.